podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to the Anfield Index podcast. It is a Friday evening and it is April, and the Reds have just had a bit of a nightmare for themselves in Europe, and we are facing a run-in and a potential title challenge, and I am joined to discuss all of these topics and more by my colleague of such lethal cunning, as my friend Chris would say, Lisa Marie Hanahan. How are you?
Well, it's a sunny afternoon here, so I mean, we've got that going for us. But speaking of nightmare, I literally woke up this morning hoping that that had been a bad dream. But unfortunately, it was not. But I am sure we will get into all of that here on episode 384 of the Anfield Index podcast.
Ah, she brings it home every time, listeners. You hear that?
Because I've learned from the best, Trev.
Every time. Yes, I suppose you have been on with Brainchy regularly.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. It's great to have an opportunity to chat about it with a little bit of time elapsed. I don't know. I know it's different for you. I'm in a workplace where not only am I surrounded by students who would really, really love to have a conversation about Liverpool. students of, shall we say, different persuasions when it comes to their allegiance. But also I have a huge amount of colleagues. Lots of them are Reds and lots of them not. And I don't know about you, Lisa, I just didn't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it, especially if you've done, I know I saw you listen along live. I think if you've done the sort of post-mortem that is Raw, you've kind of got it out of your system. You've looked at as many things as we can look at. You're either going to be annoyed going to bed or not. Last night's Raw was absolutely fantastic crack in that it finished, if you haven't listened to it, go and have a listen to it. It finished with Hendrik getting really pissed off at me and Harry because we were daring to show optimism. And he was genuinely angry. You could hear it in his voice, and he was like, impatient to get in so he could wrap the show up. He just wanted to get home. I was saying, Dave, you weren't listening to us. Here's what we were saying. We're basically taking the piss. And then he sort of, he jollied himself out of it and was, it was all good in the end. But I do love shows like that. I have to say, it's nice when it is genuinely raw and people are sort of emotional in a genuine fashion. Not that we ever do performative stuff on Raw, but sometimes you feel like a boring match, you've got to try to create something that's going to be vaguely interesting. That's the one thing about shocking defeats, is that you don't have to work hard for the subject matter. And I did say, Lisa Marie, beforehand last night, I did say, will we consider doing this as a just a half hour or sub half hour show so that it'll go out free to everybody? And of course I keep forgetting that it's sub 50 minutes, and then that's anything longer than 50 minutes, so I that's kind of what I meant to say. Let's keep it sub 50 minutes. And of course I was laughed out of it by both Harry and Dave, who said there's way too much to talk about, and so approved. Now, like I say, I know you were listening along, I know you had the misfortune of seeing the game as well. It was a painful kind of experience. What has it done to your famously upbeat take on things in terms of your level of expectation? I'm going to set it up, if you don't mind, with my own take so that we can get my silly opinion out of the way early, because it's yours we're interested in here. I'd love to say that I'm all gung-ho about this. And we all remember wonderful comebacks, but I just don't think you go to an Italian side who are famous culturally for their capacity to defend and expect that you're going to just ladle goals on. I understand we beat them 5-0 in the past. I know all the various touchstones. And yes, I was tempted to buy a Mo Salah Never Give Up t-shirt at one point. But like, are we serious really when we think that this is a very solid team who are capable of punishing us on the break? And even if we did score three, would you believe we wouldn't concede at least one or two? So I think it's a huge ask. It's not quite a Barcelona level ask, but then again, we don't have Anfield in our favour. We didn't have Anfield in our favour last night either, as it turns out. But, you know, I'm wondering where are you in terms of your optimism level around this? And if you are pessimistic, does it extend as far as, like, say, Dave was last night? And I see several people are, which is absolutely just, that's done now. Forget about that. And let's move on and focus only on the league and play a lot of kids in that second level because the tie is effectively gone. Whereabouts on that spectrum are you?
I'm somewhere kind of in the middle, I suppose. As I have said on this show more than once, I always believe on some level somewhere that it's possible until it is impossible, right? So, however, I think it is very improbable, possible, certainly, but improbable, absolutely, that we can go there and score enough to be able to, you know, win the tie and you know, go to the semifinals of the competition. So I'm just a little bit depressed if, you know, not to be dramatic or anything, but it is just, and I will tell you, I didn't really watch, the game was on, but I really didn't watch much of the second half because I was having to do something for work. I watched the first half, you know, really did actually kind of sit down and watch the first half, unfortunately. With my cat in my lap, I think he knew that I needed the emotional support. I'm not gonna lie. But the second half, you know, during halftime, I started on something I needed to get done for work and just continued to do so. So I really wasn't watching the second half. And as it unfolded in the way it did, I kind of didn't watch. So maybe it's my fault. I was not up and pacing. I mean, you know, blame me, I suppose. But I really think that there's enough blame to go to others that I don't feel like I should be you know, really take a large share of that. So, yeah. So, I mean, I think you're right. I think it is a huge, huge ask next week to go there and to be able to win by 4 goals. Has the form that we've been seeing recently shown that, you know, if this were some weird one-off performance, maybe, but it's not like we've been racking up the goals the last few matches. So that's what just puts me in, you know, I guess, further doubt that the miracle is going to happen.
There was a time when we were able to sort of blitz opposition early on and, matches then were almost a procession and certainly they were over. That seems to be something that for all this team's wonderful qualities, it doesn't possess. In fact, we seem to be the opposite. We seem to be almost, it seems to be almost a necessity that we allow the opposition to be the first to lay a glove on us, if you like. That's always been a worrying trait, but we keep pulling out these incredible results. And last night I spoke to Dave and Harry about my theory about this emotional wave that we've been cresting for quite a while now since Klopp's announcement. I ran this past Jan earlier on as well, and he seemed to be pretty much thinking the same, that basically we could be in a situation where that wave is now starting the downward collapse and we may well be heading that way with it, because there's only so far you can allow yourself, or sorry, that you can, you know, practically be carried on a wave of emotion if the legs aren't there, if the actual ability isn't there, or if the actual, you know, legs aren't there. That's a very pessimistic way of looking at things. And it's on the back, I think, of a couple of disappointing results, maybe three in total. The two Mank results in this one were sickeners. To go out of the cup to them was a sickener, I think, that we all tried to rationalize and contextualize and just pull out of our heads immediately. And then for them to do what they did to us in terms of damaging our having the title in our hands, that was another kick psychologically. I wonder if last night is just a kick too many. I wonder if it has been coming for a while. Now, we do have this sort of alternative version where we're also getting a lot of wonderful players coming back at the same time. Do you think there's a possibility, Lisa Marie, that a lot of what was attained in recent weeks and months after Klopp's announcement was a kind of almost emotional rush that, look, we will not be defeated, we will not be beaten? Is there a danger that that might have run its course a little earlier than we'd have hoped? Or do you think that's maybe a bit of a pessimistic way of looking at things?
I think it's a very real danger. I mean, we talked about this a little bit when we were discussing, you know, the announcement, you know, Klopp's departure on that episode, where, you know, would it be possible to sort of maintain the, you know, for the gaffer enthusiasm, you know, let's get this over the line, you know, so that we can send Klopp out on, you know, on such a high note. And that's easy to maintain when things are going well. You know, we had the cup results, and we had all these young players putting in amazing performances. And so, yeah, you know, it was, you could kind of build, but I think, I am wondering, and I don't know that it's any, I don't think we can necessarily point to any one thing. I think maybe the fact that we had that FA Cup loss right there at the international break. So it lingered a little bit, if that makes sense, where they didn't have a game, you know, 3 or 4 days later to just sort of be able to quickly put, you know, sort of put it behind them and move on. So I think that's one. I think the fact that, you know, the injuries to Alisson and Trent, you know, have lingered a little longer than what they were initially expected to. So I think that's a contributing factor. And I think maybe it's really starting to sink in. And I'm talking about the players here, you know, that Klopp is leaving. And, you know, and as we get these, you know, I mean, we can't be the only ones who are noticing things like, oh, this is his last nighttime match at Anfield, or it's the last, you know, potentially the last European night for Klopp at Anfield. You know, these things, they can't just be on our mind. You know, these guys know how to look at a calendar and count, and it's got to be, you know, and as much as you want to think that they can just sort of band together and overcome some of that emotion, it's a lot. You know, it's just a lot. And so I think it's a culmination of some things that are just, you know, it's almost like the stages of grief, if you will, that
it,
you know, you kind of have that denial and, you know, the anger, whatever. So I think unfortunately, we're in kind of that little bit of possibly sort of, not just for us supporters, but I mean, especially some of these players. Klopp has been just such a huge part of their lives, their careers, you know, have you know, been the making of them. And it's got to be difficult. It has to weigh. It just has. There's no way it can't weigh on them, as much as they can, you know, give these interviews and say, oh, you know, we're going to do everything possible we can to get it over the line and all for Jurgen and all these things. It's easy to say those things. And it's even and I have no doubt that they 100% mean them and want to do them, but they're human.
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit libertyshield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
Yeah, there's only so often you can go to the well, is the kind of cliche that it comes to mind there. But we are all hoping against hope that this is just part of that sort of emotional roller coaster where you're down and then you're up again. And part of that would include very much a sort of a rousing and completely unlikely turnaround in the quarterfinal second leg, and then, you know, a blitzing of Crystal Palace at the weekend now on Sunday afternoon, and relaunching of our title challenge in that regard. There's something very frustrating about the fact that it's no longer in our hands, and it was always going to be bad enough that we had to be perfect, but now having to be perfect will not necessarily be enough. The fact that we could win every game between then and the end of the season, and if Arsenal do that as well, that they win the league, that's a real sickener. And I spent a little bit of time going through the various fixtures that us and Arsenal and City have with Jan. And it's a crapshoot, Lisa Marie. It's just, who knows, really? It's, it could go our way, it could not go our way. It's hard to tell. You have an inkling that, again, based on history, that perhaps Arsenal won't have the ability to finish 100%. You have the inkling that City very much will. And therefore, if we could as well, we have to think that we are therefore in with a shot of the league. But I mean, I don't know why, because I think if anyone had offered you this position with seven games left, that we were joint top and that we were three goals down in a quarterfinal in Europe, I think everyone would have said, and we had already a cup in the pot in the press, we'd have said, yeah, let's skip right to that point. that would be something that you'd be up for as a challenge. So look, it's very, very difficult to read at the moment. I think it's almost a waste of time for us to do much talking about potential lineups and who should be doing what. What I'm interested in, what we've always been interested in this show, is not necessarily doing this sort of, minute analytical stuff after games or talking about the opposition ahead of games. It's more like the bigger issues that seem to be surrounding the club, the things that we can actually have interesting chats about that aren't necessarily technical, because other people do those in a specific way. And one of those things is, the emotion, and are we actually, like I say, coming on the downside of a wave here, or does it have another little boost left in it? I'm hoping that's the case. I think you and I will be eternally hopeful, like you said a few minutes ago, until it's the hope is gone, we will be hopeful. But there are other things sort of floating around that are sort of disconcerting. I wonder what you make of the whole ticket pricing protest. Not necessarily that so much as the whole ticket pricing issue. I spoke to Jan about it a few minutes ago. I think you probably will have heard us talk about it on Raw last night when things were... I was possibly a bit angry, but I also tried to remain a bit, try to have some sort of sense when I'm talking, and not not be ideologically driven, which there's way too much of that. People take a team and they just go on that and they abuse everybody else. That's not helpful in any way, shape or form. And I think the big issue here is, why is this happening in terms of the timing of it? And in my naivety, I needed Jan to point out to me, Lisa Marie, that, you know, this is season ticket renewal time. So this is why it's happening. Right. Gotcha. So this is why, because I was thinking, could they not just have waited till the end of the season, whatever, but this is why it's happening now. And so this is why it's coming up as a topic. It seems kind of daft. It seems like a thing that they could have waited until a new regime was in situ for a while before they did. I understand the idea of running a business and trying to make profits. I understand that the particular amount is not the end of the world for anybody necessarily, but I do understand very much, and I'm more well disposed towards any kind of fan group arguments about rising ticket prices and pricing locals out of the game, especially the younger people. Here's the fix that I think would have been really easy. You decide that you're going to lamp on extra money onto corporate tickets, the likes of which I availed of this year for the first time in my life, and squeeze those people because they are occasional attenders. And you simultaneously announce reduced prices for up to 5 or 10,000 seats for locals under 18. Now, how difficult is that, Lisa Marie? It's both politic, and we're told that they're looking to raise about $1 million or something like that, and they could easily have done that by lamping extra money on the corporate tickets and a simultaneous gesture of goodwill, which would have kept the fans on side. They seem to keep blundering into these stupid decisions which absolutely alienate a very unique fan base, and they seem to need to keep being reminded of it. I'm half expecting Gilles Jean to appear with his little apology speech, you know, in a week or two's time, we got this wrong, and blah blah blah. It seems daft, doesn't it? It seems as if they could easily have offered up something that would have been a sweetener. They could have structured this price hike in such a way that it would have not alienated people in the way that it has.
I think you're right. I'm going to put my star-spangled hat on here for just a minute. Although, okay, American owners. Now, I've never been a regular season ticket holder of anything, but I have enough knowledge to, you know, ticket prices go up on season tickets here all the time. And nobody really, I don't want to say they don't, people complain about it, but no one would think of protesting it. It's just like, well, here they are, you know, screwing us again. And again, while these owners have been in place for a long enough time that you think that they would understand the, say, cultural differences, I honestly think that that's probably, and I'm not saying they're right or wrong, I'm just saying, you know, over here, no one would think of protesting ticket prices. In fact, I look at ticket prices over there and I think, wow, that's kind of reasonable. Because ticket prices here for things are ridiculous. So I think they were just, they had the blinders on, you know, they just, and again, they shouldn't at this point in time. They have been owners of Liverpool long enough that they should, you know, they shouldn't have these cultural blinders on. But I think every now and again, they just need to be reminded, you know, and, they're like, well, let's see if we can slide this one through. But yeah, which is, again, I'm not defending them. I'm not saying it's the right thing to do. But I just do think that they just forget that over here, people would, they'd complain about it. But they would just be like, okay, here we go, you know, and that's the way it is. So, yeah, I mean, I understand. And I think that's one of the things that's wonderful about Liverpool is you've got this community that wants to keep the history and the community and the local and, you know, and all of these wonderful things. And, you know, God willing, one day I am going to get over there to be able to, experience it firsthand. But I do think sometimes, you know, there are sections and areas of the country here where you do have some of that. But I mean, I also, you know, my husband is a lifelong New York Yankees fan. And when he lived up in Connecticut, you know, would go to the games at the old Yankee Stadium on a fairly regular basis. But I do know once they built that new stadium, however many years ago it was, I know from his family that still lives up there and attends the games fairly regularly, that yeah, the ticket prices got a lot more expensive, you know, because, hey, we have to pay for this new stadium. And we all know that the Steinbrenners are not hurting for money. So it's just different. It's just different. But I respect it, you know, the point of view of, you know, the local fan groups and everything that you know, felt the need to protest. But like you were saying last night, and Dave, and I think Harry as well, it just is an unfortunate coincidence that last night was the night. Yeah, that's not the reason we lost. It's not the reason they played awful, but it just seemed to be like what I was talking about with earlier, just kind of part of the one more thing contributing to the just, you know, the downside of what has been happening here and, you know, with the games and the results and everything the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think the last thing anybody needed at the moment was more disgruntlement. And therefore, yes. I do very much I'll come back fully around to, you know, FSG here. And it's only 2016 that there was the whole £77 ticket thing. And
see, that predated me. So I haven't had a chance to really go back and read exactly what that was. I keep hearing references to it, but
yeah, well, basically what happened was, as a result of them rolling it back at the time, the most expensive match day ticket stayed at about £59 or £60. And in a lot of the conversations I've heard, arguments I've heard from people who are, you know, very much arguing the case that price hikes, especially for the non-corporate tickets, are a bad idea. They're lads my age, and they're saying things like, you know, when I was a lad, we used to be able to get in here on our pocket money, and you know, like. That's true. It has gotten more and more difficult to obtain, and there's no kid now is going to be able to afford any kind of a match day ticket on pocket money unless they're, you know, from very middle to upper class families and they have quite a nice weekly allowance. That's just a fact. So things have changed across the board. And I know I really do take on board your point, because you're right, you know, by comparison with other places, it is comparatively affordable. And I've been, until this year, always able to get a ticket at face value, never any more than 40, 45 euros or 45 pounds or whatever it is. Never any more than that. And that's great. That's fantastic. And it's a lovely thing to have been able to do over the years. Even when I had like a kind of regular access to the cop, that was it. It was never any more than whatever it was at that time, 30 something. I mean, it's really, really, really good value for money when you think about what you're getting for the for that money. But I do fully understand. And I do think there could have been a gesture made, and not a token one, a genuine one, that embraced the whole idea of the younger fans and the local fans, and making sure that they very much had a place, that the next generation of, you know, singers and chanters was there and being indoctrinated in the right possible, in the best possible way, and having that local enthusiasm. I think it's absolutely important, because there is a danger. And, you know, you speak about how you'd love to get over, and, you know, you and I are in the same boat in that regard, as like we're not locals. So there is that danger that, you know, the thing becomes more of a fairground attraction, and the club becomes such a global brand that, you know, too many of the seats are, you know, first timers or very, very rare occasional people who are not necessarily as involved, are more looking at their phones. All of these things factor in. I just think it's a shame that there wasn't more thought put into it, especially when they have previous, you know, we had John Henry came out that time. He was saying like that they were really sort of upset at the concept that they didn't care about supporters, or the concept that they were greedy, or the concept that they were trying to make, you know, profit out of the club. And they went on to highlight how they had only put money into the club and so on and so forth. So it just seems really jarring that they would go again in what, like, it was almost kind of vaguely surreptitious way and without that kind of genuine gesture to the fans. It just seems daft. I don't understand the thought process behind it. And, you know, people can argue all they want about how they can ignore that and say, ah, look, it's only a few quid and people are whining and people are whinging. And I think that's to denigrate a very valid argument. I wouldn't necessarily be going kowtowing to locals just because they're locals, or fan groups just because they're fan groups. You know me, I am not on any team. I don't believe in radical ideologies one way or the other. I think they're that way madness lies. But I do think that, you know, there is a very valid argument there that needs to be acknowledged. And I will say this, Lisa Marie, I said in the show last night, and I thought it was comparatively valid point. Banners and flags can't fucking sing. Banners and flags can't cheer for the team. That's people. And the people last night went quiet. And again, I had all sorts of angry people getting back to that comment I made about the crowd saying, well, they didn't really do anything for us, did they? And it's like, well, you know, I've heard other people be, maybe even these same people, be kind of indignant and talk about how it's your duty as a fan to, you know, jolly on the team and support them when they're down. Well, that was a perfect example of it last night. That's the kind of thing that makes me wonder about the overall bigger picture of, is the air starting to go out of the tire? Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
That's where you sort of worry about that, you know, because it's the bigger feelings. Is there a sort of a downer now beginning to occur? Look, we will hope that we can rally and that the team can rally, and that at the weekend now we hammer Crystal Palace at Anfield and try to get things very much back on track. I think that's what it's going to take, I'll be honest. If you had a preference now yourself, would you, if you were a part of the advising team there behind Jurgen, I am curious to know, we've kind of brought it up already. Would you be tempted to sort of go very strong in the second leg in the hope of the miracle of Bergamo, which it would be? Or would you be inclined to say we get the win we're looking for now on Sunday? Would you be inclined to say, yeah, that's pretty much dead rubber now, so we can just play it not our quite our strongest team, and if it happens, it happens, but let's concentrate on the thing that's important. Where are you on that specific question?
I think I am leaning a little more toward let's focus on the league. Now, you know, I don't know, and part of me thinks, you know, put out the team next week at Atalanta that, you know, look, all of the players care, and I'm not by any means suggesting that nobody does, but there are a few of them that I think would literally give up every ounce of their life force to pull a win over the line. I mean, I think Harvey Elliott is one of them. I mean, and we see it when he comes on. He's come on some of those games as, you know, as a substitute, that he has just brought a different energy, and I think a little bit of it is he is, as a lifelong Liverpool fan, he is going to give every last ounce, you know, for the team. And I think that somehow just in their, you know, just in their personality makeup, I think just a few of those players are a little bit more like that. And again, I'm not suggesting by any means that none of them care, because I'm sure, you know, they all obviously care, but there just seems to be a little bit more. So I would almost, and you know, you do kind of think, I feel like a lot of the young players are kind of like that too. You know, I mean, we sort of saw it in the cup final. So part of me thinks, you know what, hey, let's give them the opportunity to do it again. You know, I don't know. I mean, a little bit of me kind of wants to see what happens Sunday.
Yeah.
To know, because I think I would, depending on how Sunday plays out, I mean, if we win, but what kind of win, if that makes sense. If it's a, you know, we squeak it over the line at 1-0, you know, barely, I might have one opinion about the team that should play next Thursday. But if, you know, if it's kind of a resounding, heck yeah, here we go, then I might have a slightly, you know, a slightly different take. But I lean more toward the let's just win the league.
Hey guys, it's Eddie Gibbs from Anfield Index here. I hope you're enjoying this podcast, and I'm sorry to call time on the show before it ends. In the current climate, it's tougher than ever before to offer podcasts for free. At Anfield Index, we produce over 75 free shows every month, which I'm confident is unparalleled in the LFC sphere. Whilst we'd love to offer everything for free, the production costs now make this impossible. That said, we don't want to follow the model of other channels and lock all of our content behind a paywall. So what we've decided to do is to continue offering every show for free, but cut that offering to 30 minutes on our longer shows. So to get all of our shows in full and enjoy the best of everything we have to offer, we really hope you'll consider supporting the channel and signing up at AnfieldIndexPro.com. For about the price of one cup of coffee, you'll get every podcast in full with zero ads. You'll also get access to our LFC VIP community, where you can enjoy live podcasts, engage with our podcasters, and chat with other Reds in real time. So that website again, AnfieldIndexPro.com. Join today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.